The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Right now that time, 8:15. You're listening to WGNS on this Monday morning, today the 15th of April. And this morning, for the first half of the program in studio, we have Michelle Conceson. And Michelle, you are the new chair of the MTSU Recording Industry Department. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Scott. That's right. Thank you so much for inviting me on today. I'm happy to meet you and to meet the community here. So, yeah, I'm doing well.
So tell us a little bit about the recording industry there at MTSU in today's times and how it's maybe changed a little bit.
Yeah, well, for 50 years, we have been operating a recording industry program here at MTSU, educating students for careers in audio production and in music business and commercial songwriting. So over the years, it's grown a lot in its curriculum. It really started primarily as a recording industry, a recording and audio production program, with a philosophy that in order to work in audio production, you would also need to have good foundational background in business. And over time, it's become more well-rounded of students are majoring in music business. And we believe to be in music business, you need to have a good foundational experience in audio production. So,
and when you look at music in today's times, of course, there's new music license companies out there.
I mean, that's right.
The industry has grown, but it's also changed quite a bit. I mean, you look at years past, you look at records, you know, record albums to CDs, cassettes. It's changed so much to today. A lot of it's online.
It is. There's a lot of complexity to the music industry, but there's also some great opportunities for all different types of personality types and students who might be interested. Interesting fact is that MTSU was actually one of the first college programs to put out a CD when CD was a new technology. And we really haven't, we've been ahead of the industry for many years. So now we have students who are the big news in the recorded world is, of course, immersive audio moving from beyond movie theaters to your home and to your gaming and to your different experiences. So our students really have top-notch technology to learn how to work in the industry that will be in the coming years, not just what's going on right now. So it's pretty cool.
You know, in looking at things like home audio and the way people listen to music, it's, like you said, immersive. And the way it has changed and just grown in fidelity is amazing.
Yeah, even personally, it's immersive, right? So we've gone from a lot of community listening, which is what radio is all about, right? To also personal listening. So we're trying to really cover all bases and all genres of music, really. MTSU is really proud of, while we are in Music City that is well-known worldwide for country music, we're really proud that our students are really working across the music spectrum.
So what is it like, you know, teaching students in the recording industry when you're in this, you know, mega Music City area?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of folks moved to town. So I was looking at the walls out here in the station, and I said, well, you know, I'm a Bostonian in Tennessee, but of course Ray Duffy was a Bostonian in Tennessee, which is pretty cool. I was like, all right, that makes sense why I've been so welcome in Murfreesboro, but I don't quite have the accent down, right? But I think we've gathered people from across the world are here in the greater Nashville and Murfreesboro area working in music. And in order to do that, we really have to educate folks. The program started out of a desire to have the recording industry wanted to have a more educated workforce. And fast forward 50 years, we're still after that mission. We're thinking about how is the music industry expanding, not just in recording. What do you need to do to be grounded as a commercial songwriter if you're trying to write songs to make a living at it? And also, from the business perspective, as it gets more complex, how can we continue to get ahead of the game?
Again, with us this morning, Michelle Conceson, and she is the new chair of the MTSU Recording Industry Department. And songwriting, that's a topic that, you know, it seems as if just about everybody out there has said at one point or another, man, I wish I could write a song.
That's right.
But in general, making a living at songwriting is a different story. Is it tough in today's times to make a living as a songwriter?
Well, of course it is. That's one of the big topics, right? Right now, there's been a lot of copyright reform that has led to active dialogue to make sure songwriters get paid better. There's a lot more to do in that world, of course. But for us, it's really making sure our songwriters understand the business, know how to work with a publisher, know who is going to be their best advocates, understand how royalties move through the industry, which may sound a little boring to some, but for a songwriter, that's really how they get paid, right? So, but also just providing the inspiration that a creative needs working in a business field. You know, we're all about creation.
So you have songwriters who are attending MTSU, and their goal is to make it big, as everybody who writes songs. That's their goal. But how do you go about teaching that? Because you got the creative side of it, and either you got that or you don't. And then you have the side of it as, how am I going to market the song I just wrote and get it out there?
One way we go about teaching that is we, of course, have a wealth of incredible commercial songwriters in this area, and our students are learning directly from those people. So we have full-time faculty who are always on, and we have adjunct faculty who are helping with, in particular, songwriting, so that the students can learn from folks who are excelling in the field. And we have some great alums. I mean, right now we're particularly proud of Hardy, was a commercial songwriting graduate, and we're pretty proud of him, and several other folks. But yeah, it's really about connecting the community, connecting the songwriters with publishers and with other songwriters so they can learn from them.
So when you dial that clock back to 1973, that's when I guess the recording department as we know it was really founded. But when you look back to that year, you had what, two studios to record in, and that was, you know, the start of it, along with what, two professors?
Yeah, at first we didn't have a studio at all, actually, and then we started working out of the WMOT studio. So it really started a relationship with the radio station. The first classes were taught there, and then they were taught in the classrooms. There was one period where there was a recording studio that was sort of created inside a space that had originally been intended for the agriculture program. But over time, we certainly now, fast forward, we have, you know, five active 24/7 recording studios. We have four labs, including mix lab, post lab, and two MIDI labs, which is, it sounds kind of wild, but anyone who's listening who really wants a career in recording, you know, they'd love to know there's like these setups that just have, you have a whole studio right at a desk, and there's, you know, a room full of them for students to take a class and learn together. We have a lot of advanced technology. You know, it's funny because it's not necessarily our personality to brag, even though we're in the brag building. It's not necessarily our personality to kind of tout all that. But you know, we really have top line innovative spaces. When I first came to town, I've been teaching in Boston at Northeastern University. And when I saw our studios for the first time, I just couldn't believe it, how incredible. I mean, I've recorded, as a manager, I've recorded with artists across the world in London, Toronto, New York, LA, right, everywhere, and in Nashville, of course. And our studios are top of the line and on par with those studios that I've recorded everywhere. And I just was so happy for our students to learn an environment that's so realistic, that they can walk into any studio in the world and know where things are and know how to work them and know how to fix them.
And over those years, you know, let's say back in 1950, 1960, that era, you had a lot of big artists who were recording in very large recording studios at the time. And then you kind of saw a shift where artists were recording all of a sudden from their homes in beautiful but small studios from their house. And that's happening even more today.
That's right. And that's the beauty of the labs, right? So we really want to teach students, no matter what environment they're going to be in, And of course, there would be some folks who recall we had a studio and a house at one time when we were before we had built the Bragg building in the 90s. There was a studio that was created to be much like the studios in Nashville. But you're speaking to a topic that we're constantly debating. How can we make sure that anyone who's recording in a traditional setting of a large studio environment, we recorded, you know, the band recently recorded the fight song in Studio A and Bragg, and that was a real trip because you can fit the whole band, right? That's beautiful. But you're absolutely right that we're creating these small recording environments on campus so students can also learn if they're going to be collaborating remotely and writing and recording with folks who are across the world, but from a small setup. What is that like? What are the challenges of that? And how can we help them do a great job?
You know, that's another aspect of it. Collaborating across the globe, because you've got maybe your artist who's a guitar player. He's in Nashville this week. He's recording there. And then you've got an artist who's doing the singing who could be in Australia. And he knocks out the lyrics. And then they bring it all together. But that is not uncommon these days.
It's not uncommon, and it's actually very creative. It's also not uncommon to have artists who want to record all in a room. But certainly some of the feats of recording that are done today are done in really, I would say, resourceful ways.
For the public out there, when they hear stuff like, well, this is an analog studio or this is a digital studio, they may not understand the differences, but analog is what, you know, I guess it all started on years ago.
It's true. We actually have, in our studios, we try to maintain, and this is, of course, a shout out to our maintenance team, because we maintain technologies from throughout the decades. Because at any time, a student might go out into the world and have to work on tape, or I shouldn't say have to. We'll want to work on tape, because it's true. You know, in the studios, some folks are recording back through tape and some folks are still recording on tape. So we have students who are learning that. They're learning, you know, traditional maintenance. They're learning everything from that to, you know, they continue to upgrade surround sound and Dolby Atmos. So we're continuing to try to keep up with and get ahead of those requirements. So, you know, whether it's, you know, 7.1.4, I'm learning all the lingo. I'm a business person as the chair, right? But I'm learning all the lingo of everything I need to know to work with my colleagues in audio production to make sure we are doing well.
And, you know, there's something to be said about tradition. And you have some artists who they will want to go where, let's say, for example, Elvis Presley recorded whatever album, but they will want to go there and they'll want to record it analog just like he did. And they want to get that certain sound, and they strive for it. And that's something else that I think is unique about the recording industry, is that you can kind of go back in time.
Yeah. And if you, my favorite days too are when we go all the way back, right? So within our college, we also have the Center for Popular Music. And there is an engineer there, Martin, who he will every once in a while, he'll come into the studio and set up the old horn, you know, like with no electricity recording, teach the students how do you actually mix by moving musicians further away from the horn, right? Like we go all the way back and all the way forward. And I think that fundamental gives you a knowledge that other folks coming out of other programs don't have. If they've only learned how to program the software that's happening right now, where you learn all this breadth of knowledge and you actually have the skills to be prepared for changes occurring because you understand how everything works from the bottom up.
And, you know, by doing that, you're learning history by being hands-on. And you don't have that opportunity in other departments to go back in time, if you would.
That's right. And it's not just in the technology side. It's also in the cultural side. So we really believe that to be a great business person, you have to understand the history of the business. And we have several pop cultural history courses that are specifically geared, you know, they're taught in our department because they're the history of the business, not the total history necessarily of music. You can go to other departments for those classes. But for us, it's important that our students understand why laws were made the way they were, why business operates the way it does, why deals are done the way they are. So they'll have the foresight to make change as it needs to occur.
Very cool. Again, Michelle Conceason with us this morning. And again, the new chair of the MTSU Recording Industry Department. And for anybody listening who would like to learn more, just go to mtsu.edu and click on what, Recording Industry?
That's right. And I, you know, I welcome all of you. I look forward to talking with anyone who would like to. And, you know, we do, as part of the sort of admissions process, we do tours on Fridays that are for folks who are interested in coming to the school. And if you want to see what's going on, I'm here for you. So it's lovely to meet you, and I really appreciate this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And keep us up to date on what happens next at MTSU through the recording industry.
Anytime. 50 years. Woo!
That's right. Another 50 coming
there you
up.
Go.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Right now that time, 8:30. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming your way next.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Here's a question. What do you want from your electric co-op?
Fast response if the power goes out.
An app that keeps me informed. Tips to lower my monthly bill.
Communication on things that matter to me.
Done, 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 done.
I want to know everything.
Everything? Well, young lady, let me show you the MyMTE app. Energy Service Life. That's Middle Tennessee Electric. We're here to get done what matters most to you. Learn more at mte.com.
Rutherford County's 23rd annual Earth Day celebration is Saturday, April 20th, 10 to 2 on the Murfreesboro Square, and MTE is proud to be the primary sponsor and organizer. Free fun for the whole family April 20th on the Square. More information at rcearthday.com.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the new menu items that we have added is our Salmon Imperial. Our Salmon Imperial is a fresh cut piece of salmon with shrimp and a crab meat blend, and then we've put our Alfredo sauce on top of it. It's great for a low carb diet that you can get with spinach, but also it just has an amazing flavor with a mixture of all those flavors between the shrimp, Alfredo, and then our salmon. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for, you know, guitars, keyboards, drums. We have lessons for anything with strings, mandolin, guitar, bass, you name it. We have lessons for anything with keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, and a professional drum teacher as well. So if you need to learn to play something, we have you covered. Come on in, buy you an instrument, start learning today at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Time right now, 8:32, you're tuned to WGNS. And now in studio joining us is Heather Green, Master Instructor and MTech Program Coordinator at MTSU. So what is MTech?
Actually, we're MTeach, but thank you very much for having
me.
It's
can't
a common
read.
Mistake. It's okay.
I need to go back to college.
No, people say that all the time. So MTeach is our Math, Science, and Agriculture Secondary Education minor. Students who do our program major in their content area, and then they minor in MTeach. They graduate with a Bachelor of Science in their content area, as well as everything they need to get their Tennessee State teaching license.
So one of the things we hear a lot about in local high schools is STEM, and we're hearing about it, of course, a lot in college as well. So how does STEM relate to MTeach, and what all does STEM mean?
So STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and MTeach is preparing our students to teach all of those content areas. STEM really takes an inquiry-based format for students to understand it. So we want to make sure that they're not just memorizing things, but actually understanding how technology, engineering, and science all work together. So to do that, we get the students involved in the learning.
And what's the most important aspect that you see in today's times related to your program at MTSU?
We really need teachers. And a lot of people believe all sorts of misconceptions about teachers, but teaching is a lot of fun. And in order for our society to do well, they need to understand science and technology and mathematics. It is integral in everything that we do in society now.
And when you're an educator, you're literally helping to shape future lives with maybe sometimes not even realizing the lives you'll touch. But it does make a huge difference when you have a good teacher who really loves what they do.
Yes. And almost everybody can tell you a good teacher that they had that changed their lives. They might not be able to tell you the mechanic that changed their lives or other careers, but they always have a teacher who has done something. So in MTSU, we call all our teachers difference makers because we are making a difference in students' lives.
And it's wild. You know, you talk to somebody who's 40, 50, 60 years old. They're usually able to go back and say, well, I remember my teacher in third grade, fourth grade, whoever it was, and they can name the teacher and what made that teacher different than other teachers.
That they connect to their students. And that's another thing that we teach at MTeach is for our students to understand the background of their students and get to know them. So students behave better when they know their teachers care about them and that they try to tailor the lessons for those students so that they see the value in it. So you don't get the, I'm never going to use algebra the rest of my life, right? Our teachers go in and say, hey, this is the content and this is how it relates to your life right now and how it's going to relate to your life in the future.
And then understanding the student, you know, that's an interesting aspect to think about. And it's a tough one because how do you teach how to understand your students and who you're teaching?
We start by helping our students understand themselves. So they go back. One of the things that our students do is called a cultural autobiography. And so they think about what their past experiences are as students, as people, in their backgrounds. And then we start exploring what other students might have. And we get them in a variety of classrooms. One of the great things MTeach does is we get them in the field early and often. So they're teaching in their very first class. And they teach in an elementary classroom, a middle school classroom, high school classroom. We try to get them in rural schools and urban schools. So they get all those different experiences so they can start to see the great diversity of our students.
When you look at kindergartners all the way through 12th graders and how the students have changed with, I would say, social media and the pressures of today's world, how they've changed compared to, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you can see a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. And one of those big differences is they're dying to know how everything connects. They really want to see that what they're doing makes a difference in their world, and it's not just some random facts. They're not for memorizing random facts anymore. Students are not wanting to do that anymore.
Do you think that students today have more of a hunger for learning?
I think they do. And they have so much access to information, but what they need to learn is how to process that information. So they know they have information at their fingertips, which is why we don't have to memorize anymore. But what does that information mean? How do they use it in their real lives? How do they do something with their lives other than scroll?
Again, with us this morning, Heather Green from the MTeach program at MTSU. How do you get a student to focus on what you're teaching? Because it seems like kids today are used to life in little 10-second sound bites. They're not used to a 30-minute, 45-minute class.
Right. So, and actually most classes in Rutherford County are now an hour and a half.
That makes it tougher.
It does. But the sciences are a lot of fun because we can very easily be hands-on. What we teach at MTeach is a 5E lesson plan. 5E is engage, explore, explain, extend, and evaluate. So that engage is that very first important thing. We get the students involved. So you have to think of ways to connect that content to them so that they see that it's relevant, or connect it to previous content so they can connect information from what they've learned in the past to what they're learning now. That's the biggest key in getting kids started into it, and then making it fun. That's the best part about teaching. We can be creative, we can have fun with it, the kids can have fun. It's always different.
So speaking of creativity, it seems like no matter what industry you're in, if you have the ability to tell a story and for that story to grab your audience, then you can make a difference. Is storytelling part of teaching?
Yes, it definitely is. And there's actually a whole field of research right now into STEM storytelling and figuring out what kinds of stories we can get students involved in that get them interested in the content. They started out in biology using some stories from Africa and research that's going on there. But what we're finding out is students want to know more about their own lives. So using stories and case studies about sickle cell anemia, which is common in this area. And a lot of students have friends who have that particular disorder. And making sure that it connects to their lives really helps them.
So it sounds like bringing history in is also a big plus, because it sounds as if kids are hungry for that too.
Yes, absolutely. And biotechnology and DNA is the best way to do that, I think, because it has changed so much in their lifetimes and we're still learning.
If somebody listening has that thought of wanting to be a teacher, or they have a son or daughter who's thinking about going that direction and maybe their child's still in high school, what would you tell them about the future of education?
The future of education is bright. One thing that I will always tell parents is your child will always have a job.
That's right.
With benefits. So that's the first thing. But in the state of Tennessee, last year, Governor Lee signed a law that all teachers will have a minimum salary of $50,000 a year starting in 2026. So not only are they going to have a job, but they're going to have a job that actually has a decent salary. In Middle Tennessee, most of the school systems are already above that mark.
And teaching has kind of become the new nursing as far as employment, because there is such a need right now for new educators.
Absolutely. And if you have a passion for students, it is a wonderful way to go.
And how can they learn more about education and being a part of MTSU?
They can easily Google search MTSU MTeach. That'll get them right to us. Or they can go to www.mtsu.edu/MTeach. Or they can email me. And I'm Heather Green. My email's really easy, heather.green@mtsu.edu.
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Again, Heather Green with us this morning from the MTeach program at MTSU. And as we close, is there anything you can think of that really stands out in your mind as something that does make a difference within the schools that you teach teachers or future teachers?
Everything that a teacher does makes a difference. Making those connections, getting kids involved. And MTSU does have a summer STEM camp this summer that will get students involved. We're actually using some of our pre-service teachers who are undergraduates as well as graduate students to help facilitate that camp, so our students can interact with those students and find out what's it like to teach, what's it like to go to MTSU, what's it like to do STEM, all of that all wrapped up in one
Now,
package.
I noticed you've talked about hands-on things several times. So teaching a future teacher how to be hands-on within a classroom, how do you teach that? Because you almost have to lay out, well, these are the different assignments or things, projects, labs you can do within your school. But how do you teach that for future assignments?
We actually teach the way that we tell our students to teach. So our students are actually doing a lot of those activities that they would do in the classroom.
Probably sometimes without realizing, hey, this is another lesson right here in front of me of just learning how to present something.
Right. And a lot of times with my students, I'll say, okay, you're going to put on your student hat today. And we're going to do this lesson like a student. And then when we get to the end, I want you to take your student hat off, put your teacher hat on. Okay, what are the moves that you need to make this relevant for the students? What worked from what your instructors did? What didn't work? What did you need as a student? So they start thinking through how to do their lessons.
Interesting. Again, Heather Green with us this morning, talking about the MTeach program at MTSU. And once more, the easiest way to learn more about it is to simply Google MTSU and then MTeach.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Right now, that time, 8:45. You're tuned to WGNS again on this Monday morning, today, April the 15th. Stay with us. More news and information is coming up.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance, all online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Hello, America. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you don't have Consumer Cellular yet, now is the perfect time to switch and save. For a limited time, new customers can get wireless service for as low as $15 a month for your first year. Yep, the same exact nationwide coverage as the leading carriers for $15 a month for an entire year. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com and use code RADIO15.
See ConsumerCellular.com/FirstYear15 for promotional details.
CBS News Brief. Delaware Democrat Chris Coons is calling on Israel to resist retaliation against Iran following missile and drone attacks.
What I think Israel should do is pause for the moment, consult with its close allies and partners, assess the damage and the activity, and then decide what is the most appropriate response.
Coons today on CNN. Former President Donald Trump's gearing up for his first criminal trial this week in New York. Legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
We have never seen nor heard of anything like this before. And all of the allegations in the New York case must be taken very, very seriously.
Arizona Senator Mark Kelly slamming the return of an 1864 abortion law.
My first concern is women in Arizona and their health. And women could die from this 1864 ruling that once again was enabled by the former president.
Kelly on Face the Nation. He says voters can make it right in November. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
We're learning about Adam's Place.
My name is Carrie Shannon. It was kind of hard to leave, but once you leave and you see where you've come to, you know that you made the right decision.
Do you enjoy the food?
Yes, at Adam's Place, you feel like you are in an upscale restaurant. Really good food, good for you, and is very delicious. We enjoy it very much.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:47, you're tuned to WGNS. Now on the last half of the program this morning, we have Dr. Charlotte Scott Moore, director of the Ann Campbell Early Learning Center at MTSU. Well, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Ann Campbell Early Learning Center and how different students and I guess what age groups are involved.
Okay, well, Ann Campbell Early Learning Center, it's our namesake, it's Ann Campbell Early Learning Center, from Dr. Ann Campbell, who was the founder of Ann Campbell Learning Center. It was initially Project Help, and then we changed it several years ago. We've been in the building that we are in now on Barrett Lane on the campus of MTSU since 1997, and that's kind of where I came into play, where I was a teacher, a practicum student there, and then a teacher there eventually. So we have children from 1 year of age to school age. So we have three different classrooms, the green room, blue room, and red room. We have two full-time staff in each classroom, along with part-time student workers and a host of interns from MTSU from a various amount of programs, college programs, from early childhood education to elementary education to nursing students, psychology students, and things of that nature. So we're a training program also for them.
And so when you look at the makeup of the classroom and the students who are there, part of the different programs there, how do they go about learning and what's the interaction like for those students?
Okay, so we are rare in that we provide an inclusive program for students, for kiddos from 1 year to 5 years of age or school age. And what that looks like is we have children with special needs in the classroom as well as children without special needs, all learning together. We have extra staff in the classrooms where we have children with special needs to ensure that they get the support that they need as well as meet the needs of the typically learning children. We also have therapists that we welcome into the center from occupational to speech, physical therapy, and also behavioral that we welcome to the center to work with kiddos during the day so that they don't miss out on those.
So the special needs students interacting with the other students there who may not be special needs, mm-hmm. How does that benefit them?
Well, the typically developing students are nice peer models for them, and also just to see, to push them a little bit, to see what they can do. Those who may be hesitant to try different things may be more apt to do it, to try it at least, when they see others do it. And that goes with our typically developing students as well. Many of the interventions that we use for special needs students go right along with the needs for typically developing students and can help them as well.
Was this the first program of its type in Tennessee?
As far as I know, yes. Dr. Ann Campbell, she was just kind of a hero in that. She wrote the grant and everything and got it set up through Tennessee's early intervention system. The program started in the basement of Jones Hall in the late 80s, I believe. So, and then we moved over to the brand new center. She had a brand new building built on the campus in 1997. And it's just kind of taken off from there. Initially, it started with students just for babies from birth to three with special needs. And then as we became more inclusive, we had peer models coming. And then we have extended the ages to school age.
Again, with us this morning, Dr. Charlotte Scott Moore, director of the Ann Campbell Early Learning Center at MTSU. What are some of the different things that maybe school systems have learned from this learning center over the years?
Well, just from basic research and just from just observation and getting students in elementary school, we know that early intervention is key to giving children with special needs just a boost up so that when they enter the classroom, the typical classroom in elementary school, they enter with maybe hopefully using less supports than what they need, which in turn makes them more independent and makes them more apt to be able to participate in all of the things of elementary school and on to middle school and high school. So it gives them a boost. Now, I'm not saying that they won't need the interventions that they require or supports and things like that. We don't want to take that away, but we can at least give them a boost to as where they can spend more time with their typically developing peers and things like that instead of being in therapy or things like that during the day and having to be pulled out in some programs.
So having this mixture of students with special needs and those without in the same classroom together, mm-hmm. learning together, and I'm sure at an early age that helps out a lot, but how does that impact these children later on in the school years and how they interact with other students?
Well, we have this program that we use. It's called the Pyramid Model, and we push kindness, being a good friend, and being safe. So those are our three expectations center-wide. Those look different in different areas. So as we teach kids that goes along with tolerance. And so, and not so much tolerance, but to be inclusive and to look at people in a way that you would want to include them and not be anything different or special. So that when typically developing students enter the school system, it's not a big deal. I know that there's sometimes an issue or a standoffishness because they haven't been exposed to people to kids that were different from them or just, we're all different, but kids that look different from them or may have different needs than them or special supports. Instead of saying, oh, why do they get that and I don't get it? Well, we teach that, you know, you get what you need. We meet the needs of all kids, and so everyone doesn't get the same thing. So they learn that pretty early, and we really push kindness and being a good friend, and which helps with the inclusive process when they move on to elementary school.
So because this program has roots that go back to the 1980s, you would have some students who would now be, you know, 40 years old or older. Have you had a chance to talk in the 1980s?
Well, not so much the 1980s. I don't want to tell my age, but no. So I have run into students. I've run into a lot of parents whose students have come through the program, and some have come back, and they still support us. We have a huge support system within Rutherford County area, and those parents continue to support us, those families, from grandparents to parents to aunts and uncles. They support us because of the work that was done with their child at ACE Learning Center. I actually am a parent of two children who went through the center, who are all actually grown now, 21 and 18. So my oldest is hearing impaired, so she has learned a lot. I mean, it helped her tremendously, and she's a graduate of MTSU, actually. So,
hey, have you all had a chance to do studies to, say, compare this student with a student who did not go through our program and how your program has helped them greatly?
I don't know if there's been a study actually done through MTSU, but that would be something that I would love to collaborate with the doctoral program for those students who are looking for a dissertation topic.
That would be interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there is a chance for the community to get involved to help out this early learning center. How do you do that? Because I know the Saddle Up program is coming up, but yes. How do you get involved in that?
Well, you can go to our website and you can purchase tickets. It's $15 per family. It's not like last year. We've gone down in ticket price, but $15 per family, no matter how many people are in your family. It's just one flat price. And you can also donate as well. We have the five different levels of sponsorship, from the Children's Circle to... From Friends of ACE, which is $250 to sponsor, Children's Circle, which is $500 to sponsor, Dreammakers, which is $1,000, World Changers, $2,500, and Earthshakers, $5,000. So we have a range of ways that you can get involved, and that is on our website. If you go through the MTSU website and put in ACE Learning Center, you will find us. And you can find us also on Facebook. We have all the information on there for Saddle Up. That's coming up this Saturday, April 20th, from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at the MTSU Tennessee Livestock Center.
And, of course, the Saddle Up program, or the Saddle Up event, that's been going on for a number of years.
Yes, this is our 17th year, I believe, of doing Saddle Up as a fundraiser. Initially, it started with being more of an adult thing, where it was we had a silent auction still, but it was more adult. It was a dinner and things like that, and music and dancing and things like that. We've changed it to try to incorporate all families in the community. We collaborate with other agencies like Tennessee Voices for Children, also Nurture the Next, CCRNR, just all these different child care places and resources that we will actually have at Saddle Up to give parents information so they can find out what else they can be doing for their children.
And how can the parent of a special needs student sign their child up in order to attend there at the ACE Learning Center?
Well, all they have to do is go to our website and fill out the application. We have a long waiting list, unfortunately, but we are working on trying to shorten that waiting list by getting another classroom, another center, another building, hopefully. I know my director, Connie Kasha, who's in charge of all the early learning programs at MTSU, is working hard, along with all of us, to try to get the funding to open up another building so that we can support more children. But they can go to the website, like I said, to fill out an application, and it will go... will come to us and we will put them on the waiting list.
You know, it's interesting how much goes on the MTSU campus that is just helping out the communities. I mean, programs like this one where you have students who live right here in the community coming to basically attend school on the MTSU campus, but yet they're how old?
The students from 1 to 5 years of age, and then our interns and practicum students are of college age, and then we also have high school students that come and volunteer once a week from Riverdale High School. And so that's been spectacular because we see them, a lot of them will go on to attend MTSU and also come back, and some will want to work for us part-time and things like that. We also have work-study students as well.
Sounds great. Again, the ACE Learning Center, and you can go to MTSU's website to learn more, or jump on Facebook and type in ACE Learning Center or Saddle Up.
Yes, there you go.
Again, with us this morning, Dr. Charlotte Scott Moore, director of the Ann Campbell Early Learning Center on the MTSU campus. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Right now, that time, 8:59. Stay with us. We have more news and information coming your way in just 1 minute on WGNS.